one of the ideas was that we would meet people along the way and we'll introduce them to each other. And, you know, physically they can go and visit each other's places and projects and build longer term relationships, so that anytime, you know, a group from here goes west or a group from there comes east, then these ties can get stronger and stronger and stronger, and there is some kind of a project and there's a place to stay, and, you know, people know about the context, like why you are here and where you're coming from. So similar projects I was thinking is like the Santiago de Compostela. You know, you have this little sign on the door which says, you know, here people who are walking the Santiago path are welcome. So we can have a little Green Silk Road sign that, you know, across places between India and Europe, that here people are along the Green Silk Road, you can come in and have a bite to eat. And because right now we were quite amazed by the hospitality. Everybody went completely out of their way to host us. But I don't know if we come with 20 people and we come every year, you know, how long that sustains. But yeah, for now, this was actually something that I didn't mention, that it was quite amazing. Like, I remember this one case that Naime and I, we were in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, and we didn't know anybody, but we called a friend who'd called a friend who'd called a friend who wasn't there, but called another friend, and then they came to meet us at 2:30 in the morning in the bus, and then he brought us to his house, and he woke up his whole family because they all had to meet us because we were so special, and they cooked a huge meal for us in the middle of the night, and then they said, oh, yo, but, you know, is this house good enough? We have another house, you know, where you can sleep, and then, oh, but you don't want to be alone, maybe I can sleep with you in that other house. It was quite amazing. Another similar case was when we were in eastern Turkey in a refugee camp. There were, Yazidis, no?
Yeah.
Yazidis from Iraq. I knew nothing about this. It's like a separate type of religion. They ended up in kind of an acknowledged but not completely acknowledged refugee camp. It wasn't really clear. And they were all in tents, and we wanted to investigate, you know, what would be the need for an educational project in their community. And everywhere we would go, they would invite us for dinner while they were explaining how, you know, even to fix like a basic water cooler. One guy said that, you know, it took me like a week of illegal work on a farm to make enough money to fix the water cooler. And also, they were not just extremely hospitable and generous, but also what was interesting, we were asking them about the kids and their education, and they were saying, well, it's up to the kids, no? It's your kids should decide where they are interested in, and then we as adults, we will kind of facilitate that. Whereas everybody else in Turkey who we'd met, like my kid has to become an engineer, a doctor, he will do this, and then he will go there. So we were very open-minded about that. But yeah, maybe what we thought, we are like a panel. If anybody has any questions, you can either direct the question at any of us, or you can just ask it, and then one of us will answer it. Does it make sense? Maybe we can do like this thing of collecting a few questions and then asking them in a cluster. Teresa?
Well, I was just interested because Foundation before you left. So what part did they play in this project?
Okay. Alright, maybe I'll just answer it because it's a bit of a, it's not clusterable question. So it relates to the question, how do you pay for a travel like this? Another question that I often get is how much more expensive is it than going by aeroplane? Which I don't yet have a complete answer because I actually didn't do the math. I did the math from here to there because I had a job. I had like a consultancy job, and I could interview people who are working in fair trade fashion in India and in Turkey and in Bulgaria. So, you know, I was like, I'm traveling and I'm working for this project, so it's kind of related, so maybe you want to pay for the travel. And they're like, yeah, it's a fair trade fashion NGO, and they needed a management consultancy, so I did that, and they paid for all the travel from here to Amsterdam. The reason why I don't know how much it costs to go from Amsterdam back, because there's nobody, I couldn't go anywhere with the bills, so that's why I didn't collect those bills. But it's roughly, I think, 800 euros to go one way. And I think it's not exactly double, because I made some stupid mistakes with the visa. For example, I took a speed visa for Iran, where there was no need to take that kind of expensive visa. So I think within like 1,200 to 1,400 euros, you can go and come back.
There's a food and accommodation.
So this includes a lot of bartering and in-kind hustling, like, you know what, I can give you a workshop, you can give me a place to sleep. So no, it doesn't include paying for all the food and accommodation. So maybe last year or something we started talking about it?
Yeah, as I remember it, it was because I had this dream to, I don't know really, I'm not a good swimmer, I never really did a lot of boat, but I just have this dream to travel from India to Iran by boat. And it was not connected to the carbon trains, I didn't know about that much. But I had just, and then I was talking about it with Thais, and then he said, yeah, I want to do that also, because I don't want to take airplanes, so I want to find another way. And so then we started like taking it seriously and see, actually we took it seriously, but we didn't do anything till we just take our bag and we went.
I got a visa before.
Yeah, one of the visas, only a visa for Iran, which you didn't need it really.
I think it had many stages, because I remember actually when we came to Orville, that's like 15 years ago, with Dave and Natasha from Evergreen, and then they were talking about the boat. So this idea had been playing around for a while. The boat is like a very big idea, you know, big boat. And the bus ticket is a lot more easy.
Excuse me, the boat scene, we got given the boat to go, and we had the captain, but we had to pay flight tickets from Canada, pick up the boat, it was too much money, so we dropped it.
Oh,
but
wow.
We started calculating costs.
Cool. Yeah.
This thing, is it like recognized, or is it like an organization?
Silk Road, would any kind of Silk Road, there are tons of Silk Roads. So we're just calling it the Green Silk Road because, there is this ancient path, for example, in eastern Turkey, there are these caravanserais. You know, there used to be lots of caravans that went from east to west and west to east, and these caravanserais where they would hang out in between. Actually, a little anecdote. There was one in a pass near Lake Van, and there's so much snow in winter that it's like a few meters high. So they have towers in between these caravanserais with bells and then a rope going down, so that when you go there and you're snowed in, you can ring the bell and then somebody from the caravanserai can come and get you. But so all of this infrastructure, I'm just saying it because it means that there is a substantial travel and trade, which has been going up and down for thousands of years. And then people say, yeah, but wasn't the Green Silk Road the one that goes from Mongolia to Kyrgyzstan, etc.?
Yeah, sure, that's also a Silk Road, but I think there are many Silk Roads. And we're calling ours the Green Silk Road because we like it to be green. And it goes through Iran because Omid and Naime are in Iran. And we happen to know people in Turkey. But it could, there could be another one that goes, you know, north, maybe through, apparently you can go from Manipur to Myanmar to China, and then you can go up through all the spans. Yeah, sure, why not? Sure, and then of course now there's the One Belt, One Road initiative by the Chinese. They are already sending containers full of laptops from middle of China to Germany. I'm not sure whether they are into people, you know, visiting schools and stuff. There is, when I looked for a Green Silk Road, there are two other people who use this term. One is the Chinese, and then they mean, you know, rather than putting a like a coal-powered harbor, they will put a, you know, gas-powered harbor or something. So it's slightly less polluting. And then the other one, if you look, if you follow our hashtag Green Silk Road, you will find many pictures of people in bikinis smoking weed because it's a a brand of cannabis seed from Amsterdam. Called Green Silk Road. I didn't know that before I started using the hashtag. But no, it's not yet some kind of institution, but we can make it an institution.
Just as well, the customs didn't decide to do an investigation on the cannabis.
I didn't have any cannabis.
No, no.
Clean. Any other questions?
Yes, yeah, so you're planning to do that every year or every 2 years?
Whenever we can.
Yeah. So with the family, we kind of had a routine of going to see the family every 2 years. So while I was traveling, I was thinking I was having that in mind, but I'm not sure whether the family is interested to do the same. So it's under discussion. And then with Omid, you can do anything. You know, whenever you say let's go, then he's ready to go. Madhu.
Yeah, the Sata Mumbai boat. It does exist. And there are these kids who took it. I sent you that link. You remember?
Yeah.
So it exists. It's true.
Big, it's a ferry. It's a
three kids from where she lived, like they are 18.
Yeah.
She said, we're traveling by land to India. So they managed to go to Sharjah. And I couldn't believe it. So she showed me the photo. It's
big ferry boat or what kind of boat?
She doesn't know. But I saw the photos of the guys on by the sea, like going to get the ferry. So I don't know how big it was. But I could see in the map, I
Let's
saw the...
I'll call them out.
I sent you the
Great.
Picture.
Great. I saw the picture and the
so
thing,
I,
and it had a line on the sea, but...
I wouldn't find out phone number or something.
Yeah, that's what we need. Because the phone numbers that I got were all dead ends. I mean, people picked up the phone, but they said there is no boat. So we need a phone number of somebody who says, yes, there is a boat.
Unless they just say, yes, there is a boat, but it's not actually a
boat.
Okay, somebody who says, yes, we took the boat, and we're happy to explain to you how to take the boat, too.
Yeah.
Great. Yes?
Did you calculate the footprint?
Ah, yeah. That's a very good question. So I started, and then I realized actually one of the biggest factors is how full is the bus. Because if the bus is half full, then the, you know, it's like 80 grams of carbon per kilometer. And if it's full, and it's 40 grams of carbon per kilometer. And sometimes it's half full, and then it gets really full, and then it gets half full again at the end. So then I was like, I don't really know I can do like this. So like this, it's about 10 times less than flying. We were many people in a car, for example. yeah. So, I don't know, I'm sure you could, we would have more people. You know, one of us could do social media. The other one could do carbon footprint calculation. The other one could do like education curriculum. The other one could do music. The other one could do cooking. That's why we need a team.
Last month came
Yeah.
They were waiting for the boat.
They were waiting for the boat to cross the Black or Caspian Sea. They were in Georgia. And they flew from Georgia.
I know they were waiting, but just that the wait would have been more than a week.
Yes.
So they would delay the travel.
Yeah. Well, so that's a different boat. It's a boat to get to Iran, and then they will still need this other boat. So if I remember, they went from Georgia straight to India. Yeah. No, but it's great. I mean, I think we can accumulate all these contacts of people that they met along the way, or we met along the way, and have it kind of wiki. Yeah, so when we left, we thought we would be visiting lots of reforestation projects and then connect them to each other. And what we thought we would have to offer would be things like grant writing and fundraising and management, because it's what I did in the past. And then, you know, it doesn't work like that. You meet somebody who you meet, and then they have a need there, and it's often not what you think it's gonna be. For example, in Delhi, it was juggling and making origami cranes that fly. And you know, I didn't expect that. that was, I guess, a bit less of the planning and more of the spontaneous on this trip.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, for me, something which was really interesting is to find people who are doing things that I heard about and I never saw, or I never heard about even, like people who, one thing was handcraft in Iran, in India, like just, it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that I managed to do whatever I had in mind, but whatever we could, we just, for me, the project is this suitcase to fill it up with whatever we can, store it there, and then wherever we go, we just, so we don't know what will go inside, but it's like just be open, go there, and see what happens, because as Kai said, in each place, even in the bus, towards that city, you think of, we will go there, we will do that, so now we are in 4 hours, we will be there, and we have to do this and that, and then you arrive, the bus stop, you go there, and it's completely something else. So you restart everything. But that's the fun of it for me. To be organized.
Yeah, I do like more of the project management, Gantt chart, and that. But, so we did also had like meetings in offices and things with NGOs and one of the concrete things like that come out of it could be exchange programs. For example, there are amazing social entrepreneurs in Turkey, and in Iran there are people who are struggling and who would benefit enormously from the experience of those amazing social entrepreneurs. So we went to Turkey and we said, hey, are you ready to go and, you know, share your knowledge across the border? But they don't even need a visa. They can just go by bus. I don't understand why these people are not all the time meeting each other. You know, we have to come all the way from bloody India to tell them, hey, actually, guys, you are neighbors and you're talking about exactly the same thing. Like, they have permaculture teachers trainings in Turkey. And in Iran, they're struggling to set up a permaculture site. Or in Turkey, they have like fundraising expert gatherings, and in Iran, they have no money to do anything. And you know, there's a very clear opportunity there. But yeah, I guess it just needs a little push. And whoever we spoke, you know, they were really excited to do these exchanges and make a project out of it. So we can do that. Anybody here who wants to do a project with
anybody in Iran or in Turkey or in Bulgaria or in Hungary or in Switzerland, Germany, France, Netherlands. We can do that too. So how many of you are interested to join us on the next trip? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, that's like 12. And if you got a wrong passport. We have to figure out a solution for people with an Israeli passport. Yeah, so I thought if we have 20 people, we can buy a bus. Yeah? Yeah, why not? And then we can get the bus to come to Bandra Bus. We just have to meet these here from the, you know, from the people from your village. You know, how to get to Sharjah. Because from Sharjah, there's a very nice ferry to Bandra Bus. And then you can go buy a bus, and you have your own bus.
I think if you have your own vehicle, you can actually go through Pakistan. I know a guy who came here on his motorbike from Austria 2 years ago. Roland, many
must have met. Hi, but did he have 3 Orgo visas in his passport before he applied for the visa?
No, that's probably.
This is the trick. There are many. No, it's not a stupid joke. There are many Europeans who cross Pakistan and they say, "Well, there's no problem." And I'm like, "Well, but yeah, but you know, your passport's not the same like my passport."
You need a second passport.
Yeah, that's also, I mean, if these guys, they all look very Indian to me, you know, if they want to come along, then it's nice to not be stuck at the Pakistani border. I think for now it's fine to postpone Pakistan. He's really keen. He wants to go to Pakistan. We had these amazing contacts in Quetta and Balochistan and in Lahore, and we were like chatting with them and doing amazing work.
We went in a vehicle. We went to Delhi, and then they said no. We said okay, we will anyway go to the border. So we went to. We took another train to Chandigarh, and then from Chandigarh we went to Amritsar. From Amritsar we went to Wagha border. So we were like 5 meters far from Pakistan, and they had this big show, like it's on the border, there is a big stadium kind of stuff, and then it's like a football stadium, some Pakistani people the other side, Indian people this side, and then there is this big door, and then the army from India comes, one example of this kind of army, and then another example of that kind of army, and then another guy with a dog. And so one by one they come in an army dance, and then exactly the same thing from the other side in Pakistan. It's as if they were training together, like they were dancing together for perhaps 45 minutes, 1 hour. There is this big dance between Pakistani army and Indian army. And then at the end they go and they give it like a hug, but it's
a handshake.
And then it's like, and then everybody like this and this, and then there's this music and some guy who is like doing the show and like makes people, because when like one guy from India comes and do this, and then there is another guy with the microphone who says something, and everybody start the from like the audience start like if India make one goal, so
the one goal.
And then 1 hour of this show, and after 1 hour they open the door for like 30 seconds, no one passed the door, and then they close the door. So it's like, it's a door, but it's not a door, it's just, look like a door. For a moment it's closed.
So after all that, they still wouldn't let you in.
No. We went all the way to the border just to see this stupid show and then come back.
And this show repeats every day.
Every day, at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's part of the taking down the flag and folding the flag.
Yeah, they have to do it like exactly at the same time together. So like, if there is a coordination between two armies, which is not really, I mean, I don't understand it, but they don't like each other. Or perhaps they like, they don't save us. But
all right.
We make it happen to Pakistan.
So Amit, any questions about Pakistan, go to Amit. I'll deal with the boat.
with both.
I see you didn't talk so much about your European countries you traveled and the European connection to it. I would like to hear a little bit about your experience in Europe.
Yeah, so well, one of the things is in Europe you do need to make appointments to meet people, which was different. So we met less people. I mean, I actually, for example, in France, I went to go and see Ashoka. Is it a group of social entrepreneurs that have offices all over the place. And they did give me an appointment, but then I was sick, so it was kind of my fault. Yeah, we visited some projects and with some schools. The thing also with schools, for example, in, say, Holland, you have to book like 4 months in advance, and then you have to give them a lesson plan showing every 15 minutes what you're going to do and what are the expected outcomes at the end of it and which age group and exactly how many kids. But we had no idea, you know, we just want to go open our suitcase and see what happens. That's not how we roll in the Netherlands. So there we actually met people on the like outside the school and, you know, other people's houses and my friends' kids and their neighbors and so forth. That was a little bit different. But in terms of like projects, we met some interesting people who are working on urban ecology. Actually, one of the ideas that is brewing is to do a bus yatra. You know, in India, you've got a Jagriti Yatra. They visit all kinds of social innovation projects. And in Europe, there's talk of such a yatra. And I was thinking, we can do a urban ecology yatra and then visit such projects, because they work on that in Budapest. They work on it in Sofia. They work on it in Bern. They work on it in Amsterdam. They work on it in Lyon. All these people are doing exactly the same, and they don't have time to go and meet each other. So we just take two of each country, put them in a bus, and then they will meet each other. And it's another like a little circuit of the Green Silk Road.
Just one, I don't know if you finished.
Yes.
Because I saw this music, Heiss made a rap music in Iran. That is so good, really, guys. I love it. You want to hear that?
Yes.
If you have VLC, you should play with VLC because it's louder.
Yeah, there is none. I think I checked for them. There is.
This was in the best recording studio in Isfahan with Omid's brother, who is a, I was going to say hardcore, but genuine Iranian street artist.
Underground.
But still, they had really amazing equipment, and the computers were not underground. He plays some tool.
The age of the Anthropocene, where the heaviest we've ever been, where the footprint of the human race, we can kick this planet into space, where the life of dire mountains keen, where a deep impact machine, yum 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 yum. No force, no one can stop us now, and not that we know of anyhow. We got rid of the competition by driving them into extinction. It's kind of lonely on the top, but we don't know how to stop. Down towards the cliff, we accelerate as if through some magic intervention, wings will sprout from the suspension of our ultra hyper turbo train. This situation is insane. The way we rule as a collective, proven to be so effective, that the system we put in place ended up setting the pace. Now we're caught in our own invention. Was that ever the intention? The way we rule as a collective, proven to be so effective, that the system we put in place ended up setting the pace. Now we're caught in our own invention. Was it ever the intention?
Who is serving who? Are we serving the system? Is the system serving us?
Most of us are in denial, pointing out it's been a while since the humans took control, and we're growing into our role. Look at this age, it's not all bad. There's no need to look so sad.
Don't worry.
We can modify all genes, turn living things into machines, and to purify the air, we'll put sensors everywhere. Hook them up to a computer that will regulate the future. Welcome to Controlistan, switch your algorithms on. Leave your life fears behind, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. There's some turbulence ahead, and your windows may turn red.
بازم جسد کنم از همون دیوار مست انحصارن آدم و تو اشتباه این تشکل از بیخ اشتباه ما به سیستم شکل دادیم یا سیستم داده شکل ما رو به امرازی ما قصه سازیم یه حس نابی بین اختلاف به نوزشه تا حال اقتضا دیگه بستشه حالا وقت چرخشه خطر سکوت ای آدم به چرخی که وقتشه این از شکل ما با ما جمعشه جهش زمین به جهتی جدید با هدف بیقدیم بی تکامل همه از زمینی نسته بدترینی تعادل ابتزاز دروغ میگفتم نسته باز که شرایط اجتماس چه ایدئال ننی سختی میره باز خواب توی پارک داشت کنچی که ایده ها بازی اونقدر توی چوبی که مادر میده به چوب میده سیاست بهش روش میگه بیاد بشیم رودی که عشق دوش دوشیده به مسیری سختور میده بزرگترین سطح مکتا واسه بستنش کنچی که
The way we rule as a collective has proven to be so effective that the system we put in place ended up setting the pace. Now we're caught in our own invention. Was that ever the intention?
Show Grow music album. Anybody wants to add a track is very welcome.
We should have an animated video.
Yeah, we should have. Should
sure.
Doing it so we can see.
Sure. Feel free.
We should check out the song called Reggae Shark.
Reggae Shirt?
Reggae Shark.
Reggae Shark.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're volunteering for the animated video.
Yeah.
Should we have one last question? Talking about like getting a bus and going from here to Europe by bus, right? Why not with bikes or cars or why bus?
Or a boat on wheels.
Yeah, boat on wheels is a bit like a bus. So I think one big advantage of a bus is that there's one driver and many people not driving. I don't know how many people really like to drive, but I imagine it could become an issue. Like, do I have to drive another 400 kilometers? I already did yesterday. For example, I have no idea how to drive. I don't have a driver's license. So I would not be one of those people.
But then if you go to Europe, you need to change like the sites where you're driving and like where the steering wheel is.
No, this is just India. Well, I mean, unless you go to UK, but everybody else drives on the normal side of the road. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? The whole point of this conversation is to have more people join and do stuff. And when we met people along the way in, for example, Bombay, and they also asked, hey, who of you wants to come? And like 20 people said yes. No, it's not actually true. 10 people said yes. But I'm sure they will find another few friends that we can mobilize more people. So then one of the things I was wondering about is that actually it's also really nice to go off on your own. So maybe we can do a little combo of a bus and some smaller vehicles or, you know, something where you can be together if you want, but you can also go your own way and do like Mashhad if you really want to see Mashhad and everybody else wants to go to Tehran, for example. But then also maybe we can do a trial run next year in India itself, you know, to learn about how do you actually travel alone together. I don't really know how to do that.
Yeah, but we need the pioneers of Oroville. They can teach us. They came from Europe, like us.
You're very welcome. Yeah, everybody's welcome. Yeah, Patrick, for example, he was very excited, especially about Kabul, but you know, things changed. Kabul is not the way it was in the 70s. Why did we not take a train in Iran?
Because for me buses are better. But no, there is
the buses are cheaper actually.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
And then you need to book in advance.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, bus you can go right over to the station and get a bus in half an hour. But train, there is this kind of luxury trains also in Iran, a lot. But you need to book like, not like in India 2 weeks before, but 3 days ago, 3 days before.
Because trains also a nice way to meet people.
Meet together and,
yeah.
Oh, and meet people.
Meet,
yeah.
Because if you are in your own bus.
True.
Then you actually don't meet much people.
So no, we don't go by your own bus, we buy tickets, I don't care. Whenever we want to go, we come together and we decide, you know, how we want to go.
How intensively did you travel? Like, you said 5 weeks, but were you trying to go fast or?
No. Probably if you want to go fast, you can do it in 3. Yeah. You can probably do it in less, but then you are, you know, if you miss a connection and you get all stressed. And I think what is nice about this kind of not too fast, not too slow version is that you can spend a few days in a place and give something back to people who are hosting you. And especially if we have a bunch of Aurevillians, you know, there'll be like competition. I want to do my workshop. No, I want to do my workshop. You did yours in the last city. We're going to draw straws. So yeah, I think we need some time to, you know, get connected to the place and the people where we are.
So 5 weeks was relaxed?
Yeah, I feel so. Yeah, yeah. No jet lag. Yeah. And it kind of fits, you know, 5 weeks and then, you know, people have different families in different countries in Europe. You know, a few weeks with them. Maybe they can also join part of the journey, and then all together it's 3 months. So that's just 2 weeks extra on the school holiday here, 2 weeks extra on the school holiday there. It's very manageable. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.